Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the book of Job, chapter 33, reading verses 23 and 24. The book of Job, chapter 33, reading verses 23 and 24. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. This word has rested with me for a long time. I have preached several times from it. And there is here a sweetness and a blessedness in the words of Elihu. The savour of these words of Elihu, if there be a messenger with him. The words of Elihu, spoken to Job in this chapter, have all the sweet savour of the gospel in them. He opens up here in this chapter the pathway, the beauty of the words. The Lord opens the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. The mighty work of God in the spirit of unregenerate man is spoken of here by Elihu. Beautiful description, openeth the ears and sealeth instruction. The divine teacher spoken of in our text as the interpreter here seals instruction in the heart. And when the Lord seals instruction in the soul, and when life is given to hear his voice, these are the truths that Elihu puts to Job. And he goes on to speak of it, God's purpose in doing that he may withdraw man from his purpose. What solemn purpose in fallen man. To have his fill of sin and darkness, to go on in his rebellion and his rebelliousness against God, to walk in paths of his own choosing, to love darkness rather than light. The work of God is to withdraw man from his purpose. Change the course of his life. Look at the purpose of the Apostle Paul and how the Lord withdrew him from it. Turned the whole purpose of his life upside down. His purpose was to destroy Christ and his work. And the purpose of God was that he should be an instrument in his hand for the promulgation of the truth and of the gospel. And straightway he preached Christ. Draws man from his purpose. And oh, the blessed nature of the power that does it. And so Elihu goes on in these blessed words here, and hide pride from man. Oh, the pride of the human heart, the pride of the Apostle Paul. The pride that said, I'll not have this man to reign over me. The pride of the solemn nature of his own self-righteousness and his own wisdom. The Lord will remove it, indeed. And the words of the Lord when he removed it were these to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. He's humbled. He's on his knees. He's in godly sorrow and repentance. The Lord had moved pride was to be driven out. And so he goes on here. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. That is this, you know, in the days of his unregeneracy. The days when his feet made fast to hell. There would I have gone, says the hymn writer, but thou dost all things well. Oh, how the Lord preserves his dear children in the days of their unregeneracy and keeps them from the solemn nature of this sword that Scripture speaks of in so many ways. Beautifully spoken of here, from perishing by the sword. The sword of God's wrath. The sword of his divine justice. Sword of his holiness and majesty. That solemn sword which the Lord spoke to Ebed-Melech through the lips of Jeremiah, thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life will I give for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. The Lord's glorious promise to Ebed-Melech of heaven. Life given for a prey. No longer that solemn sword to hang over his head. Beautiful promise. And the sword we see spoken of falling upon Christ, not on Ebed-Melech. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is mine equal. We see it here in this word, by its blessed comparison. Beautiful comparison here. The child of God is not to perish by the sword, but the sword was not stayed. Awake, O sword, went forth against the shepherd. Because he bore the sins of his dear people in his body on the tree. And was made sin for us. Who knew, that's Christ, no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then he speaks of the exercise of heart and soul, chastened upon also with pain upon his bed, the multitude of his bones with strong pain. His life abhorred his bed and his soul dainty feet. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer. There, the leprosy of sin, the solemn work of God in conviction, in the heart, the wounds and arrows of the Almighty sent into the soul, a mourning over sin. And we see the coming of the soul under divine preparation to the footstool of mercy. And then from that place where God has dealt and sealed instruction in his heart and brought him where Job came, I abhor myself. Behold, I'm vile, he said in the last chapters of his book. Behold, I'm vile. Then we come to this beautiful word, if there be a messenger with him. If there be one to speak to him. If there be one with him in love, and mercy, and compassion, and tenderness. One who is not his enemy, but his friend. One who is not there to condemn him, but to lead him. One who is not there to destroy him, but to help him. One who has a message of everlasting life, spoken of, behold, I send my messenger before me. That was John the Baptist. and the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, shall suddenly come to his temple. The eternal Son of God incarnate is spoken of here. And he's spoken of here as one who has come into this earth in his incarnation, a messenger with him, coming to bring that blessed message from heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. Beautiful truth. Coming to reveal that glorious message in his heart. That sacred call, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There may be a messenger with him. When we look at the Lord's life here on earth, oh, the solemn nature of this word, if. Take the scriptural example of the resurrection of Lazarus. There was a message in that resurrection. It was the voice of the glory and majesty of the eternal Son of God, Lazarus, come forth. But to whom did that message go? Many believed. Many believed. That message went to them. They saw it. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. They saw the eternal Son of God incarnate in that glorious act of divine power. But some, here's the force of the if, some went their way to the scribes and Pharisees. They did not believe. And we see here the solemn nature of this if. If there be a messenger with him. If there be in his heart the voice of Christ. If his voice is heard. Follow thou me, a messenger with him, a call into that straight and narrow way that leads to life. No man, said Christ, can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Tonight, we stand either side of this if. Either that messenger has come to us, called us by his grace, and we have a God who is with us, touched with a feeling of our infirmity. Or else we stand on the other side of it. There is not a messenger with us. We have not heard the voice of God. We have not known the divine call. We have not known the divine authority. We have not known the effectual call of God. What an if it is. Eli used it. If there be a messenger with him. I do ask you tonight, is there a messenger with you? A God who has called you, sealed instruction in your heart, called you perhaps in the silent watches of the night, by his effectual calling. Have you known his power? I look a step further in this messenger. We read, I believe it is in Haggai, of the Haggai speaking of himself as the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And so it is with the servants of God. Have you, from this pulpit, or any other pulpit for that matter, known the sweet savour and power of the message of the gospel in your heart? Known its sacred influence as the men on the road to Emmaus knew it? Did not our heart burn within us Have you known the power of the Word of God that holds your heart as it held those apostles on the road to Emmaus? It held them in its grip of love, in its power and in its savour, to be a messenger with him. The Lord's servants are his messengers. He uses them as instruments in his hands to send the message of the gospel in its life and its unction and its power to the hearts of his dear children, such that they hear the voice of their God through the instrumentality of the foolishness of preaching. And they come into the circumference of this word. If there be a messenger with him, there is. And once known, sealed in the soul. A mighty work of God is sealed in the heart, and the ears have been opened, as Elihu put it. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. The Lord does it. He does it through the instrumentality of the foolishness of preaching. And he opens the ears of his dear children, and that message of the gospel in its glory, in its power, in its life, in its sweetness flows into their hearts. Now they can listen to the truth. The day was when it was barren to them. There was no savour or dew or unction or life in it. But now they drink of the sincere milk of the word, and through the foolishness of preaching, a messenger comes into their hearts, and they hear the voice of their God. They go forth strengthened with might in the inner man. They are instructed. They're brought to know the corruption of their hearts, their folly and foolishness, and they're brought now with their ears opened to hear constantly the voice of their God calling them, if there be a messenger with him. Now we know that in the case of Job, as Elihu spoke, there was a messenger with him. There was indeed. We see from the close of this book the sanctifying work of God's Spirit as Elihu puts his finger on this. God is greater than man. And he puts his hand on the situation in Job's life, that it is God that has dealt with him. It is the hand of God dealing with him. The purpose of God beautifully spoken of by Job at the end. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Grew up with thy name upon my lips. Lived outwardly, openly, righteously before thee. But no, now mine eyes seeth thee. Exactly the same vision that Isaiah had, that Hezekiah had, that John the Divine had on the island of Patmos. I've seen thee, by mine eye has seen thee. And oh, the sight that it had. It was like looking in a mirror. He saw his own heart. In the light of the holiness, purity and majesty and glory of God, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. No more arguing with God. Bowed down as dust and ashes in his sight, coming humbly to his mercy seat, and listening to the words that John heard, I am he that liveth. No more argument here. Oh, the power of the word. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. These godly men, under the divine teaching of the Spirit, manifest there was a messenger with them. It had that blessed message under the lips divine had a gracious effect in their heart. If there be a messenger with him. And then this beautiful truth, an interpreter. An interpreter. Job did not understand the way God was dealing with him. He could not grasp why God had dealt with him in such a way. Why should he be so afflicted? Why should he come into such path? An interpreter. One to show him. Hath not, says God in his holy word, hath not the potter power over the clay? And then another one, who doeth as he will with his own, among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Here we see the grace, the interpreter, the Holy Spirit of truth, opening up in the heart of Job the divine will to be accomplished in his life, that he might be as clay in the hands of a heavenly potter and be led into fellowship with Christ in his suffering. Be led to a most precious hope. The beauty then of this word, if there be a messenger with him. Oh, there's no greater blessing we can ever possess in this world. And if the messenger of the covenant, the eternal Son of God, is with us, there is nothing between our souls and him. The sacred bond of the covenant is in the work of the atonement. The apostle speaks of it in the 5th of Romans, by whom, that is Christ, we have now received the atonement. That is, as the margin there reads, the reconciliation. And here we have him, a messenger with him, lying in our text. Peace between God and man through the finished work of his dear Son on Calvary's cross brings the messenger to be with him. Brings the blessings of Calvary into the soul of the sinner to be a messenger with him, an interpreter. One to show him what Job knew when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Oh, he was brought to understand the way and what the Lord was doing. When he came to that depth, behold, I am vile. He began to grasp the sanctifying work and influence of the Spirit in his pathway. The divine hand, when the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Into the furnace he went, and in it, Satan had no concept of what the Lord was going to do. He was going to bring him to walk with Christ in sweet fellowship and to know his presence. There was to be an interpreter to show him the sanctifying nature of the fires of affliction in his path. And fires they were. Fires that, like the three men, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, were to be heated 7 times hotter, with that one sacred purpose, that in such a furnace they would walk with Christ, to be a messenger with him, an interpreter. Oh, to be brought to understand, to be taught. Job had the way opened up to him. The Lord showed him what he was doing, what he was in God's sight, what he deserved, and he brought him to lie as clay in his hands. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. If, what an if, there be a messenger with him, can you say in hope tonight that you hope there is a messenger with you in the pathway? The eternal God has revealed through the Spirit of Truth his dear Son to you in your soul, that all his dealings in the way, many that they have been, you can see are his hand, his good hand. Trials, says the hymn writer, must and will befall, but to see love inscribed upon them all, this is happiness to me. And here we see it in the case of Job, an interpreter. The interpreter bringing him to understand, hath not the potter power over the clay, and to be brought to bow in his hand. I like the word of Jacob. You see how his path was a mystery to him. Equally his dear son, Joseph, how his pathway was such a mystery to him. But when it was clearly opened up and the wagons came, Jacob said, it's enough. An interpreter. Why through darksome paths, says the hymn writer, we go, we may know no reason yet. We shall hereafter know each in his due season. It's enough. He bowed and was still in the hands of his God. And when he bowed down before Joseph with the brethren, Joseph broke. He broke completely. He turned aside and wept. An interpreter. 20 years he'd watched. Could never believe that the instruction sealed in his heart when he was 17 would ever come to pass. When he tried to get the butler to remember him and hasten his escape from the Lord's purpose, then he waited 2 full years. Remarkable word. They were full in his feelings, but they were perfect in the hand of his God. And when the interpretation came, until the time that his word came, that is to fulfillment, the word of the Lord tried him. They hurt his feet in irons, then it came. Then, oh, what a sight he had of the glory of God. There be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand. Beautiful description of the eternal God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Peculiarly, I believe, here referring to the Holy Spirit. None teaches like him. One among a thousand. And oh, how he teaches. He opens up the way. If this be, Lord, thy way, it is. And when the interpreter opens it up, one among a thousand, it is this to show the sinner God's way and to bring him to be willing to walk in that way without murmuring or repining. To be willing to walk in God's way. And in the beauty of that language, rejoicing in tribulation. Patient in hope. Beautiful description of the child of God under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, is he not? Have you proved him? Can you speak of him in this way that Elihu spoke of him? One among a thousand. The giver of the precious promises. The instructor and teacher of his dear church. The comforter of his dear people. Have you known him? Do you know something of the Spirit of Truth here? One among a thousand. No teaching like his teaching. To show unto man his uprightness. That is God's uprightness, not man's. To show to man the Spirit of Truth that shines in the heart of a poor sinner. Brings him face to face with the holiness and majesty of God in his holy law. Shows man what he must have if ever he's to enter glory. And you know, the teaching of the interpreter is this. That if ever we're to enter glory, we must have a righteousness that is not our own, it's God's. We shall never rest satisfied short of a divine righteousness. It is to have a sight of the solemn necessity that one should die for sinners. That God's holiness be maintained in his holy law and that one should bear our sins in his body on the tree. Oh, has the Lord shown you the necessity of you possessing a robe of righteousness that is divine, that you be prepared in your nakedness to stand in the presence of the Almighty, washed and clothed, and that nothing short of that glorious righteousness of Christ can ever be sufficient to stand before this holy God in all his uprightness, to show unto man his uprightness. Has the Spirit given you that sight? John, when he was shown it on the island called Patmos, fell at the Lord's feet as dead. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Hezekiah, when he came face to face with eternity, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter, O Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. What is it to be brought down? It is to be brought down, crying out, unclean, unclean. Lepers before God, to feel it and know it. To come with our sins, the sins of a lifetime of omission and commission before his holiness, and there to plead that one and only name can ever save us, the name of Jesus. And then as we go on into these words now, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then is he gracious unto him. Oh, how we see the sinner brought down. Behold, I'm vile, said Job. Then is he gracious. Oh, how Elihu knew this blessed way. Then is he gracious. Here comes the sinner humbled before God. Here we have the path of the publican God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here we have the path of the dying thief. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. They had seen the uprightness, holiness of God. And they came, bowed down. There we see the apostle Paul in the street called Straight. Behold, he prayed. He'd seen the uprightness of God, the holiness and majesty, his sight taken from him. What do we see? God looking down on his dear people, gracious to the humbled and penitent sinner, brought down at his mercy seat, and brought down to the place that is spoken of here. His soul draweth near to the grave, and his life to the destroyer. Just like Queen Esther when she went in unto the king, I'll go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. Then is he gracious. Oh, how we see sovereign grace as that scepter was extended to Esther. Do you know anything of it? To come as a beggar with your sin to God's mercy seat and plead for pardon. Not for our sake, said Daniel, but for thy great name's sake. To plead the name of Jesus, then is he gracious unto him. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hezekiah knew it. Has cast all my sins behind thy back. Then is he gracious unto him. And the Lord speaks as he did on Calvary's cross. And he says this in the hearts of his dear people. Deliver him from going down into the pit. This is God the Father speaking. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Deliver him from going down into the pit. Beautiful words, aren't they? I have found a ransom. One who would redeem them. A redeemer. One who would die for them. One who loved them with an everlasting love. One who would raise them to glory to be with him in heaven. I found a ransom. Who can utter these words except God himself? Deliver him from going down into the pit. But God did not say that without the finished work of his dear son. It was vital. It was essential that one should die to put away sin. And so the two go together. The divine edict that his dear church should not be found in hell, and the sacred reason for it. I found a ransom. One offering for sins forever. And as the apostle speaks in his letter to the Hebrews, he speaks in that letter of the offering of Christ upon Calvary's cross. And he says regarding it in the nature of the work of God regarding the salvation of his dear people, he says this: by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. What a mighty work was involved in this one offering. His church perfected forever. Sanctified and prepared for glory. Who are these? And whence came they? These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What do they do? They sing the anthem of the redeemed in glory, and it's this: unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The price was an acceptable price to God, his own heart's blood of his dear son. That was the price. And his dear church, beautifully spoken of in the hymn, redeemed. With Jesus' blood redeemed. His beauties called to trace. No angel can with it compare. A sinner saved by grace. If there be a messenger with him. The one with you tonight. Does he abide with you? Whatever fire, whatever furnace, whatever valley, whatever tribulation, whatever part of the cup you may be called to walk through or to drink, there be a messenger with him. Whatever deep affliction you may be called, there be a messenger with him. My God, said Daniel, has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. There was a messenger with him. An interpreter. One among a thousand. Divine teacher. There be a messenger with him. An interpreter. One among a thousand. To show unto man his uprightness. Then is he gracious unto him. And saith, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I found a ransom. Oh, the way of salvation, the blessed nature of the gospel that lies here, the teaching of the Spirit in the soul. It has the glory of the mark, handiwork of God himself. And his dear church are to have it revealed to them in their soul. They're to know. They're to be brought to understand. They're to be made willing in the day of his power. They're to take the cup which he puts into their hands and to drink it. And eventually to be made conformable to the image of his dear son and prepared to be with him forever where he is. Amen.